This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
You here to take me in, O'Connor?
Hell no.
She's my friend, too.
I'm going with you.
I ain't coming back.
This is where my jurisdiction ends.
And this is where mine begins. What's to stop someone from telling them you're a cop?
The same thing that's keeping me from telling them why you're really here. A lot has changed.
You're right.
Lauren Lapkus is out for this season because
she's
got a 8-pound thing that came into her life that she has to take care of. And you can guess what that is.
So it's Gamers smarter is than here. A cat, but dumber than a dog. Right,
so
now, it's
going to
end up being smarter than everything.
This is the fourth episode of the fourth season. We're watching the Fast and the Furious franchise. Oh, well, baby, it's going to be 10 episodes. We're going to cover 9 movies and Hobbs and Shaw. And we're talking about the fourth film in the franchise, Fast and Furious. And if you Google it, it's hard to find any information on the movie because it brings you to the franchise because they named these movies in the wildest way.
It only gets more fun, too. This one people call ampersand because they remove the articles and it's just Fast, Ampersand, Furious. So Griffin Newman told me that some people refer to this as ampersand because it's hard to say, like, Fast and Furious. Which one?
Yes.
Well, Fast and
the
Furious.
The Fast and Furious, not the Fast and the Furious.
The one with Braga? The most memorable bad guy of a film ever? Phoenix, is any of this ringing a bell?
So, ampersand is available on DVD. It's free on Peacock, and you can watch it for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu. Guess what? We're going to fucking spoil it because we're talking about the movie. So, Gabrus, you saw this in theaters.
I, of course, have seen all of, I've seen all nine and Hobbs and Shaw in the theaters. This one was one that I was let down by, but the ending, and not just the final moment, but the whole ending sequence was so fun for me at the time that I dug in and enjoyed the rest of this movie.
See, you said you were like, this is one of the worst ones.
Yeah.
I liked this one. This one returned to the gritty, kind of indie vibe of the first.
What you liked about it is that it got that fucking Toretto in. Well, the last movie didn't have Toretto or Brian in it. They're definitely a major factor in what we like about these movies.
Yes. I like that people were back. Gotta say, they fucking kill Michelle Rodriguez, but I know she's in later movies.
Okay, so we're going to unpack a lot of this because she's one of the several resurrections that happens in this series. Let's introduce our guests.
Yes, let's do that.
We have some friends of the HeadGum family here. You recognize him as a dumbass, and you recognize both of them from the Review podcast. We got Jeffrey James and Riley Anspaugh.
We're recording at 10 a.m. Pacific on a Sunday, which is why we're on the episode. No one real would say yes.
Well, you heard us. This is the worst episode of the series, the movies.
Oh, my God. You guys, this film took 12 years off of my life. It really did. I'm like, okay, I got 30 minutes left, right? And then I looked again. I'm like, how do I still have 20 fucking minutes left?
Yeah.
You're right, Gabrus. The last like 10, 15, that was worth it. But everything else beforehand, I mean, my God.
I'm the minority here. No,
I like
yes, you
it.
Are.
I'm a minority. I'm a minority.
I guess I'm a minority is a very funny title of a memoir. I guess I'm a minority by Nicole Byer.
But I liked it. I genuinely loved it. I thought it was so fucking fun.
I want to talk about this because I always remember this one as the worst one. But after watching them in order again,
yeah,
the flavor shift from Tokyo Drift to this is delightful. I miss Han because I love Han.
Well, we get a little bit of Han.
You get a touch of Han, and that's all you need.
I fucking loved when Han was like, yeah, I might go to Tokyo.
And spoiler alert, but 5 ends with, where do you want to go next? How about Tokyo? And he goes, not just yet. Like, wait, let's do one more movie before I die.
And do they ever go back?
What? They do go back, and he does die again.
But
then that is, he's also resurrected from that. We will get to it. He's the other resurrection. There's a few.
Gabrus, my mind is blown.
There can't be more than one.
Because I thought I knew these movies, and there's so much I don't know.
Dude, I'm not exaggerating. This is the movie of the series I've seen the least, and it is still 4 or 5 times. And I am confused by the fucking movies. I conflate them all in my head because it's like, which is the one with the cars and the sort of steel drum Caribbean music? And it's like, that's all 9, bro. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, right.
Is there a
but
scene
I feel
in
like
all
it's
of
the
these?
Most prominent in 2. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I feel like every movie, this is the only one I've ever seen in this franchise.
Same.
But there's got to be.
Same here.
newcomers, finally.
Yeah. Yeah.
True newcomers.
Oldcomers and newcomers uniting.
Does every movie have a scene on the beach where there's like tons of bonfires happening and people convenient to just kind of stare at cars?
And a lot of Corona.
Yeah.
We talk about that a lot on newcomers because, it's the PG-13 sexiness of this.
Yes,
and
totally.
This one was the
sexiest so far.
Really?
The most triple kissing of women, for sure.
Yeah, there's way too many, like, lesbian kisses.
There was so much triple kissing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of, like, butt shots.
Yeah.
And then so you had Letty and fucking Dom in all white on a cliff where she's like fucking dry humping him. I was like, you better get it. Yeah,
wearing a shirt from Diesel Jeans.
His dad's company.
Yeah.
Like days before this, so I live in an area that was close to like an F9 poster. Yeah. And like a week ago, my boyfriend was like, do you think you'll ever watch a Fast and Furious movie? I'm like, in my life, I don't think so. I can't see myself doing that. 3 days later, I get a text from Jeff being like, want to be on Newcomers? We got to watch Fast and Furious. Let's fucking go.
Life comes at you fast,
come
Riley.
True.
Comes at you fast.
So why have you guys never seen a Fast and the Furious movie? Like, you just didn't feel compelled?
Because they're on their phones, these fucking Gen Zers. Oh, they're always
boy.
On their
these
phones. They don't
kids nowadays.
Because I got Snapchat on the brain. No,
I'm sending nudes to my BFF.
We have a I'm streaking on our streak. We've gone 106 days. I don't know. I think it's just like I was never. I listened to the first episode of the season. I know, Nicole, you were saying like you are into cars, so that was a draw for you.
Yeah.
I am not into cars. I am not like there wasn't anything. I also think I was too young when the first one came out to be like, oh, this is a new thing that's coming out for me. And then since then, it was something that none of it caught my interest in any way.
Not even a big, thick, sweet potato-headed.
Well, I did see the pacifier. See, I got my Vin Diesel fix in the pacifier. And I'm like, he's great.
Wait, how old are you that you saw the pacifier but not Fast and Furious?
I'm 25. That's okay.
All right. That's truly.
Yeah.
I just hit the cusp of being able to see the pacifier not Fast and Furious 1.
Talking to a 25-year-old makes me realize that the pandemic was like 8% of your life. That's I'm so sorry.
10%
of life. Yeah, God bless.
At least you have more shit on the other end. I'm coming That's down the true. Home stretch. I've only we got a few more pandemics.
Gamers and I are gonna die as soon as the pandemic's over.
I'm not even gonna get to hit my 401k, which I don't have either.
I was just about to be like, you have 401k. I don't.
No. I have
Jeff,
money
what
and
about
savings.
You?
And, do you have a 401k,
I know
Jeff?
Fast and Furious from the I know Fast and Furious from the arcade game at the Solon Cinemas arcade in Solon, Ohio.
What?
What's that?
Okay. Where is Solon, Ohio?
It's where Kid Cudi grew up in Cleveland.
Oh.
And is it also where you grew up?
It's no. adjacent to where I grew up in Sherburne
Okay,
Falls.
Well, like, I went there because Kid Cudi grew up there. Maybe. That's what sounded like.
I went there because they had the Tokyo Drift stand-up driving machine.
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would play that. That sounds like fun.
Be careful, Nicole. You're too... I picture you being like, the Tokyo Drift machine arrived in my house today. Anything we bring up, you're like Googling how to buy it immediately.
Yeah, I did buy the, what is it, Sabian?
The Sibian.
Oh my God, congratulations.
It's not good.
No,
that's what I was going to say.
I really didn't like it. I don't like it. It's
so,
hard.
Would you say you have buyer's remorse?
Boo!
Ferris, kick him off.
Thanks so much for having me. Take the reins.
I guess I do have buyer's remorse.
Well, I appreciate you re-gifting it to me. I'm going to get a lot
of
use
out of
it.
Well, I was like, can I donate it to somebody? Like a woman in need?
Leave it on someone's porch. Like, you need this, honey.
Bring it to the new HeadGum studio and put it next to the NBA Jam machine. And we should say Gabrus is in his childhood bedroom in Long Island.
I am. It's changed hands like 11 times because I'm the oldest. So my brother lived here and then it was a guest room. Now it's, I guess it's back to a guest room since I'm technically
a
guest.
A sun fade on the wall-to-wall carpeting of where an elliptical used to be.
Yeah. There's a dried patch of jizz just offside the bed from when that brief period of time before Gabrus discovered paper towels or socks.
Oh my God.
I also love that there's two fans to cool off my big boy.
And my mom's central air. And my mom's heavy set too. So the house is like 44 degrees. It rules.
Oh, what a dream.
Yeah.
It's like walking around a meat locker. I got out of the pool, got in the house, and I started freezing like T-1000. I was like, the water on me.
You started freezing like the opening scene where she like sprays whatever that is and then freezes off the oil truck.
Nice,
spray it. I don't have my hammer. Spray it anyway.
There has to be a better way to do it than freezing it off.
Before we get into the movie, we got to do the Toretto Gazzetto.
So, of course. Everyone's favorite part.
So F9 star Helen Mirren and Vin Diesel agree Michael Caine would make a great addition to the family.
Okay.
While discussing the mysterious backstory of her character, Magdalene Queenie Shaw, Oscar winner Helen Mirren Is it Mirren?
Yep.
Backed Diesel's proposal to bring Kane into the cast. She even suggested he could play her ex-husband. Mirren said, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, she's English, but apparently, is she? Is she English?
Yeah. Okay. Go nuts. You're doing an actually perfect impression of her.
Vin
so
had the idea of Michael Caine. I mean, wouldn't that be fantastic? That'd be so cool. Absolutely perfect. So we'll see. So her character, Queenie, is an all-powerful criminal introduced in Fate of the Furious. She's the mother of Dominic Toretto's former enemies, Owen and Deckard, played by
Shaw.
Luke Evans and Jason Statham, respectively.
Shaw of Shaw. She's Mrs. Shaw of Hobbs
yes,
and Shaw.
She is, yes, Shaw's mother, which I don't think I tracked. Man, you know, I just accepted things as I watched these movies, being like, yes, sure, that's a thing. Uh-huh, I remember that.
The interpersonal relationships in this movie are just, they make less and less sense as the movie went on.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And they and they keep building up. This is a quicksand foundation that they build all of the friendship dynamics on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, can we just pop back to the Toretto Gazzetto for a second?
Yes.
How is that news? They're making the biggest franchise in the world. Like, it would be cool if this famous actor joined. Everyone's like, you guys are crazy. It's like, Michael Caine is going to be in Fast 10 now. Like, there's never, like, why would he turn it down? Michael Caine does bullshit movies all the time.
But he's also so old. He might be getting picky. He's like, in my late stage of life,
Toretto.
I'll only do what I want to do.
Yeah.
Some people just want to watch the world burn, Mr. Toretto.
Okay, we have to take a break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. So Fast and the Furious was written by Chris Morgan, directed by Justin Lin.
Hell yeah.
Who has a hold on the franchise. He has directed so many. He is also lined up to direct 10 and 11.
He directed also, 9. He directed 3, 4,
wait, 9
and 5.
Wasn't the last one? I thought with all the posters around, with all the family, the big hoopla, I thought it was like, and this is the end of the franchise.
No, this franchise will never end because
they're making
people
one more two-part movie.
No,
yes, but also they
also
might
nine...
be making a lady spinoff.
Yes,
that I really want to be in.
You gotta!
Oh my god! Oh, you gotta!
You need to be in.
Right. Like I could be the Tyrese Gibson. You know, comic relief part. Or let me be Ludacris.
You could. It would be fun to have a female car expert, like a female mechanic head, and you would be great at that.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That'd
watching
be
you
so
just
fun.
Yell at fucking Paul Walker's brother in a mocap suit. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That's offensive. I also believe after watching Fast 9, and we'll talk about this in the 9th or 10th episode of this podcast, but I believe they're trying to set up young Toretto as well.
No,
who
it's
do
young
you think
Sheldon
would play young
Fast
Toretto?
The guy who's in Fast 9 playing young Toretto.
Oh my god.
He's
Is
an
he
absolute
good?
Fucking stud. Yeah, he's
oh
better actor
god.
Than Vin Diesel.
Oh my god. Gabers, I'm so horny for this information.
You're gonna really like this ethnically ambiguous buff badass that young
god.
Toretto is.
And I've been trying to do like my due diligence and not spoil anything for myself. So like
Oops,
I'm
sorry.
Not gonna look him up. Oh boy, but I'm very excited. Oh boy. So this movie was released April 3rd, 2009. And let's so the beginning of this is wild.
Immediately into what should be the climax of the movie.
Right. Jeff, okay, let's talk. Jeff, let's talk about this. You just said what makes the Fast and the Furious franchise work for me so well is that they don't give you like half fucking bullshit and then fucking get you the biggest one at the end. Although the end of this movie does fucking slap.
Yeah, it's fucking sick.
They open hot. And, and that's
it's bookended.
That's such a fun way to start a movie. And almost all of them start with some elaborate car race plan, shit like that.
So this, to me, really felt like a second beat of the first movie. It felt like they were erasing 2 and 3, and 4 is the actual sequel. Which I guess it is, because Tokyo happens at some point after, further down.
This movie takes place before Tokyo Drift, which is the third movie.
But then
also, it takes place after 2.
Okay.
Right before 5. And then, also 5 and 6 take place before 3.
Wow.
Why did
they
call it Fast and Furious? That's what I was thinking about for half of it.
I just ripped my AirPods out laughing at that.
Instead, they're calling it ampersand on the fucking subreddit.
Yeah, I would just go 4 Fast, 4 Furious. The thing
four,
fucking
four,
was 5 Fast, 5 Furious. 6 Fast, 6 Furious. It works. I would have just kept doing that.
The opening was cool. For never having seen any of them, I was hooked by the opening. Like, that was an awesome sequence. It was super fun. It was like, I caught myself being like, oh shit, like a bunch of times. Like, it was fucking dope.
They make Vin Diesel, they make Dominic Toretto like a Marvel superhero, like with his physical capabilities.
Yes.
But what I like about this movie is they spread the wealth. They let like Letty get on the fucking gas car. Like they let like the women and the minor characters do like so much fun shit in this movie. Like everyone is equally capable. As a matter of fact, that's another hallmark of these movies. I hate to keep calling out patterns.
Everyone has superhuman strength.
Every movie, everyone has gained like seven levels inexplicably where it's like Ludacris isn't in this movie, but in the next one, he's like the master hacker and Roman is like a cat burglar and Han is like a weapons expert. Giselle Bundchen is in the Giselle Bundchen. Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot was in
Giselle.
This. Yeah.
Gal Gadot's in this.
Was Gal Gadot. Mm-hmm. I was like, she looks slightly familiar to me, but I don't know and I won't look it up.
I gotta record the podcast in 5 minutes. I have time to look it up.
Ludacris took a certificate CS program at UCLA Extension and then returned to the crew.
Yeah, he came back knowing way more about C++.
So, okay, they're hijacking fuel tankers. Again, this trucker pretty like, I gotta get to where I'm going.
They're stealing loose oil.
Unlike the truckers in the first one, he bails. He's like, I'm not going down with my
truck.
With his iguana. I'm jumping out.
Yeah.
But also, is gas like that hot of a, to fucking 76.
They say in this, they're like, it's gold here, baby.
Yes,
it's
like, I was like, what? Why?
Also, how the fuck are you supposed to sell that on the black market? Like, that's so traceable.
Like, you just bring it, like, in jugs? Who needs gas? It's like they know a shit ton of car guys. They could probably pawn the gas off on someone. But this was like a Western, right? This was like a train robbery sequence.
Yeah.
And it was like,
it was very
they're
fun.
In their horses. It's all cowboy shit. And it's just, and it's a real fun way to open the movie. And then they fucking just kill Michelle Rodriguez off camera.
So quickly. Like, so quickly. So they're like making out on that fucking cliff. Oh, I fucking love it. And then she's in bed sleeping in a way I've never slept. And Dom's like staring at her like all moody. And I'm like, if they don't fuck, I'm going to be so mad. And then I had to get mad.
I want to see penetration.
Because he left her. Yes, I want to see penetration.
Show Trish, please.
But then he leaves her and goes to Panama City to like work on cars. And it's very clear he doesn't know the language.
again, just a recurring pattern is him speaking like half-ass Spanish to like Spanish native speakers and seeming like El Jefe. He's always like, mi amigo! And they're like, yes, Dom, you know a word.
But honestly, I can't talk enough about when Han says, I guess, let's see what's going down in Tokyo. I can't remember what exactly he said.
He
like,
literally says to, he says to Dom, I hear they're doing some crazy shit in Tokyo.
Yes, that's what it was.
I hear they're drifting.
I laughed so hard. It made me, I was just like, this is so funny.
It really feels like they edited out the line where it's like, yeah, they're drifting. I think that is what they're doing.
On the beach scene where they're just kind of all like oh, we're partying around cars, midriff over there, and then like
butt cheeks, cleavage, kissing.
Cars on the beach, a bunch of nice cars in the sand.
Their crew is there and they're all having a good time, and then Han just like looks over at Vin Diesel and he's like, and then he's like, all right. And then everybody knows to disperse so they can have a private conversation. I'm like, what is this like level of nonverbal communication?
It's perfect. Oh, wait. Also, in the first chase, they're driving American cars. And I was like, in the first movie, they drove foreign cars.
Yeah.
And I was like, are they making a switch to American cars? Because Vin's, his dad's car is like a, I think it's like a Chevy something.
Yeah.
Or a Dodge something.
Yeah. And, I think Dom loves the old American muscle, Brian loves the fast imports.
The imports.
The little, like, jet. Yeah.
Which so they is always funny, because in the first one, he drove a Mazda RX-7.
Yeah, but he had his dad's remember. He had his dad's muscle car, like, on ice.
Like, I'll drive this import for now, and then I'm going to drive daddy's fucking American muscle.
For a guy who likes American muscle cars, he smashes like three a movie for nine movies.
Truly.
My God.
I love him. I owe $1 million to my dealership in repairs.
Also, that one character, he's just like, Muscle Beats import every time.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Just to keep you, just so you know the two types of cars they're talking about.
Yeah.
Muscle imports. So Mia calls Dom at a payphone. How do you get the number to a payphone?
How do you know Dom's going to be there to answer?
How do you know that at that moment? She'd be like, can I talk to Dom? And they're like, oh,
and then
course.
That little kid's like, of course, I know where Dom is. Also, who's answering payphones?
Yeah, it rings nearby. Oh, I should probably check if this is for me.
It doesn't make any sense. So we find out Letty has been murdered. And I'm like,
so
floored.
Fast.
My fucking jaw dropped because I was like, she's in later movies.
Yeah.
So he goes to her funeral and watches from like 10 miles away and then goes to the crash site and finds nitromethane. He's like fucking Sherlock Holmes smelling the methane and then recreating the crash in his head. And I was like, what?
Like watching her, like watching him, even though he wasn't there, but he's like, I know exactly how it happened.
It was That's So Raven wild. Flashback.
Truly, it was, yes, it was very that. Wait, can we go back to the first chase? I'm so sorry.
No, please.
At one point, so this fucking truck is going off the cliff, and then Letty and Dom are in the car, and there's a truck barreling towards them.
Oh,
and
God.
Letty's like, Dom, no, Dom, no. And he's like, no. And then figures out, like, with the velocity of this thing coming at them to like when to gun it, and then it tumbles over them. And I was like, no,
Dom.
It was so wild. Dom.
I like they established that Dom can get his car to pop a wheelie. So that becomes like an integral plot point at the end of the movie, which I kind of like. It's like Chekhov's muscle car wheelie. Establish it in the first act, and it definitely gets fired by the last.
They do sprinkle treats throughout the movie that pay off in the end. They're very good at that.
Also, when he's having his little like detective psychic episode,
Sherlock,
like replaying it all in his head. When he goes to see, is it Mia, his sister?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's like there were burn marks on the ground that could only be a result of natural meth, which is like a shortening for methane gas, which I did not know. And I was like, I turned to my friend, I was like, drugs? And then why does he go into an auto body shop that I guess this guy sells meth?
He goes to talk to Walter White.
Yeah.
Jeff, you were watching, you were expecting a very different film.
I mean, that could be in the movie. Like,
totally.
It could be a meth dealer 100%. Who owns an auto body shop.
I appreciate this sequence where they show, where they do the recreation where he goes full mind palace, like Sherlock. I like it because I was mad that they didn't give Letty her, like, outro. Like, they're just like, she's dead. And you're like, what?
It was
on
it was
phone?
So fast.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of cool that the way they do it. And this is one of the first times you see it, but it starts getting sprinkled in the movies more and more until Fast 9 features a full-on, like, abstract art sequence. But it's like truly, like, there's like a minute-long tone poem in the middle of Fast 9, and I can't wait till we get there. But this is the first one where it's like, this is sort of like metaphysical and sort of lying, and it's like,
wow.
What is this movie? Isn't it for car meatheads? And it's like, now it's a guy visualizing his lover's car hitting him, and he's like, I left her, you know?
I couldn't stop visualizing the script. I think Chris Morgan deserves to go to jail.
This is also skipping because we touched on the funeral where he watched from like 10 miles away, but him and Paul Walker both on opposite ends, equidistant from the funeral, like kind of looking at each other, like they can't see each other, but somehow again it's like they have a feeling that from like a football field away the other is standing there. But it's like, and Mia's just in the middle like, what the fuck? Like neither of them are here. That was so good.
You say Chris Morgan needs to go to jail. I say Chris Morgan pulls off a fucking circus trick in getting Brian O'Connor and Dominic Toretto's characters to somehow be friends by the end of this movie, despite their history.
Agree.
Up to including the part, which I have not complete. I never remembered until I saw it this time, that he blames her. He blames Brian for Letty's death. It's like,
he sure
why are
does.
They best friends by the end of this movie?
He sure does. Yeah, it is wild. It's like, so he infiltrated his group to try to bring them down, ended up kind of bringing them down, and then like let him go free, And then he blames her for letting, they shouldn't be friends. Like, shouldn't be friends at all.
Yeah. But he's got to muscle them into a relationship because it's going to be the foundation of the next three films.
Yeah.
So,
we find out that this 1972 Ford Gran Torino Sport is owned by this man named David Park. David Park is the one using the nitromethane gas. So Brian is trying to track down him and this drug lord, Arturo Braga, and
the man himself.
Then Toretto tries to kill David, but then Brian saves him and makes him an informant. And then David and Brian get into a street race to help the investigation, which is like confusing to me. But then I was like,
it's the second one we've seen. It's an audition
race.
We saw it in Too Fast.
That confused me too, because I thought they were like, whoever wins gets to drive for Braga. And so then Dom won, but then Brian also got the map. And so then they were both driving for Braga. And I'm like, wait, but Dom won.
Well, it's because Dom cheated and he won. But then Brian arrested the very effeminate man who was sucking on toes so he could take his spot.
That's
why that scene was in there.
That's why they arrest that guy, and he's like, "Oh, who cares? Charges won't stick. They don't have to."
Spot.
That's how he got to get in there.
That makes a lot more sense, because the whole time I've just been thinking, like, what a weird loophole that they're like, and now we both drive through them that no one talked about. And if it was the logic that Dom cheated, people died.
They fucking died. So horrifically.
Murdering people in this race.
That's the role I would have wanted to play, is like the crazy guy who hosting all these women at his apartment. He's like,
I didn't do anything.
Speaks in the third person.
Yeah, and he's like,
but all he was doing was
sucking
on toes. It was a choice.
Yeah, it was a
choice. Yeah, I mean, that's the level of sexy this movie can be, is like triple kissing and toes. Can't show any boobs.
It's so chuggy.
But I just thought it was so funny that they picked the most effeminate seeming man to be the ladies' man.
I know.
Why are they at his place?
it was such a fun choice for me. Oh, also, I have to address, a lot of people have tweeted at me that the bad guy in Too Fast, Too Furious could be white, because there are white, like, Venezuelans.
There are
Argentinians,
because a lot of Nazis left Germany and hid in Argentina and Brazil and stuff.
And then had some babies and shit. So, sorry about it.
Nazi diaspora.
We're sorry, but if that's what people are really had to lean into and let us know.
They're like, I'm a Nazi.
Trust me, a lot of us white people ended up in Argentina.
sorry.
My family had to escape Germany for not the sad reasons. My family had to escape Germany, and you go, were they Jewish? And they go, no. You go,
oh no.
No, we didn't have to escape Germany until after the war. It's like,
Got it.
I understand.
Sorry, could you pull your mask up, please?
Interviewing to be a diversity inclusion consultant at Deloitte.
Okay, so then Dom confronts Phoenix and learns that he's responsible for Letty's death. A standoff ensues, and Dom has somehow... I guess I missed the part where he made it so this car could blow up.
Okay, yeah, I caught this. He pops the NOS, the hose off the NOS, so the car starts filling with NOS.
Oh.
And then he pushes in the car lighter, which will eventually pop out hot.
Yes.
Don't know if that's enough to cause a full-blown explosion.
Domino effect.
Yeah. The domino effect. Dominico Toretto.
The Dominico Toretto effect. Well, it fucking blows up like six fucking cars.
Well, we establish the tunnels too, which is
a very
fun part of the movie.
Does that exist?
The tunnel driving? Sure, dude.
The tunnel driving is wild.
Holy shit.
Because I'm like, how do they know where they're going?
When later on in the movie, when Brian O'Connor's guessing where the false wall is, it's like,
yes.
Why wouldn't you just slow down a little bit at that moment?
He's like, this might hurt. And I was like, just slow down. Don't slam into
this. It all looks
this.
Exactly the same.
He dives into another car and just kills a guy.
But when Dom gets shot and then the bullet wound
barely
in his shoulder changes him, he like is a changed man. he's like superhuman. He like turns around and is like, insane. I'm gonna fucking kill this man. And he's like, doof, doof, doof. He's like fucking hitting him. And then Brian's like, get in the car. Get in the fucking car. Stop hitting him. Get in the car. And I was like, this is wild.
It makes no sense why Dom doesn't just kill that guy right there.
No, no.
It would be probably better for them in the long run if that dude just dies there.
Yeah.
But I do like, they do a good job of somehow establishing in this, there's 25 guys with guns, two good guys, and a bunch of FBI agents about to enter. One good guy can use Brian O'Connor, good guys and, you know, gray guys. Mm-hmm. Brian O'Connor grabs a machine gun, and somehow Vin Diesel's squared away with just five guys that don't have weapons. So, you know what I mean? It's like, wait, oh, yeah, there's 25 armed guys. Yeah. We're the five without weapons hanging out closest to you, Dom. And it's like, all right, he gets to do his, like, his fighting style is like street brawler meets, like, it's like a video game fighting style where he does, like, suplexes onto cars and shit. And it's like, just the moment you get to see, like, oh, now you're all in big trouble. I just love, they like establish Dom, like he's a dad and he's just beating these five kids like however he
beating
wants.
The shit. I mean, it's like when you see him, there's a moment earlier which like felt like superhuman strength to me. And it was really early on when he goes to the really backdrag you, but like when he goes to that shop to like talk to the guy, like, you're dealing the nitro meth or whatever. And then he's like, I don't know, man. Get your hands off me. Don't touch me again. And then he pulls him onto a car. He almost lets the engine drop on his head. And at the last second, just stops it with
grabs
his
it with
hand.
The
chain.
Uh-huh.
And grabs the chain.
I loved it. Oh I God. Loved it. And I loved when he was like, just don't let this engine drop on my face. I was like,
if he let go at that point, it'd be fine.
Like that just- plus then the bullet. Like, I'm just like, this man... is he can do anything. This he can do anything.
Yeah.
It was like when the bullet hit his back, at first I wasn't sure it was a bullet because of how little damage it did, how little it affected him. I thought someone like threw a rock and it like turned like, and then I'm like, oh no, he was shot. And he's just like,
yeah,
what the fuck was that?
It was like the bullet gave him strength. It was just like strength juice that was shot into him. Yes. And I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
That happens with this movie a bit, with these movies, is that Dom has like emotional powers. Like if you upset him, he's extra strong. If you hurt him, if you hurt his family, like if you like he can't handle, and it's like, well, that would give Dom superpowers.
Yeah.
Like it's always like the mom who lifts the car off the baby is Dominic's full vibe in this
and
movie.
He took that personally.
Yeah.
The Dom who lifts the car off the baby.
So they get into a Hummer with $60 million worth of heroin in it. And I feel like this is the first movie where it's like the stakes of the bad guys is high.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
heroin's like a heavy fucking thing. Mm-hmm. The first movie, we're stealing DVD players. Second movie, we don't really know what the bad guys are doing. The third movie, there's just a mafia and we have no idea what they're doing.
Just vague mafia.
Yeah.
There's a mafia.
But now we've named it. It is drugs. So they drive it to the impound. And then Brian's like, you owe me a 10-second car. And then
Dom... Which is a callback to other movies.
Yes,
for Ryan
to the first movie. Yes. Because Dom's like, you owe me a 10-second car. So Dom knocks in the window of a car in a way that I was like, I don't know if you can really do that.
Which is a callback to the second movie when Tyrese...
Yes, where
and
Tyrese
I guarantee Vin Diesel watched Too Fast, Too Furious, saw that Tyrese got to smash a window and was like, when I come back and I'm the producer, I'm smashing a window without the shirt on my hand.
Yes, with
yes
my
I'm serious. I'm sure he's like, and I'm doing band because Dom is tougher than fucking Roman. That's for sure.
Oh my God. It really, it feels like that feels like, you know, when kids play make-believe, but they always want to one-up each other. It's like, well, what you don't know is like, I actually don't need the glove on my hand because I don't bleed when I hit glass. And what you don't know is that I can, bullets give me
I'm actually bulletproof. My guy is bulletproof. Yeah. My character's bulletproof.
That's what it's like, the heightening of each movie is like, well, what you don't know is I actually have a force field around my body. And
it truly feels like that. So... It really does. It fully fucking does. I love that.
And the car meetups is just show and tell.
So it's Subaru Impreza that he gets, a WRX hatchback.
Impreza.
So they drive back to Dom's house where they reunite with Mia. And then Dom finds out that Brian is indeed the last person to be in contact with Letty. So then they get into a huge fucking fight.
Yeah.
And then we find out that Letty was working undercover as an informant in exchange for clearing Dominic's record because she wanted Dom to come home from Panama.
He also yells it at him.
From yeah.
She Panama. Wanted you to come home. I'm sorry, Dom. I'm sorry.
It's so nuts.
So many grown men take full on fucking ham fist to the face in this movie and are in the next scene.
Just absolutely fine.
Whether it's
fine.
Phoenix, Brian.
If I was a sound designer, I would want to work on these movies because it's like, all right, these punches really gotta sound intense. He's angry.
But it's not gonna actually hurt anybody.
Yeah, he doesn't bleed. But then later in the movie, when he shoves the other like annoying FBI guy into the wall, it's the most blood in the movie.
Yes. Oh yeah, when he takes
he gets so bloody.
Shay Wiggum gets his ass handed.
Yeah,
it's like smashing a fucking honeydew melon.
Shay Wiggum.
The actor's name is Shay Wiggum. I forget what his character's name is, but I like that dude a lot. He's a good actor.
His nose shatter.
Stajic is his name.
Stajic?
The way he shoves his face into concrete might kill a person.
Yes!
I thought he was dead. I'm like, well, that man is simply, he's passed away.
Yeah.
But I also love, after it happened, nobody really reacted other than they were like, clean yourself up.
And it was like yeah, no, what?
You're not going to say you okay?
You're bleeding on my floor.
You okay?
It felt really like my dad and me and my two brothers, where he would come in and be like, what are you all crying about in here? And it's like, he punched me in the face, I punched him. He's like, just everyone knock it off and walks out. Like, you know, like no real punishment of like, just everyone stop being an asshole. Feels like the FBI guy is like, all right, kids, just everyone go to your rooms.
Yeah.
While we're jumping around talking about characters, can I just pop in on Campos, who ends up also being Braga? That guy, John Ortiz, who ends up, this is one of his early roles. He's in a shit ton of movies. But he's fucking good.
He's good.
Kind of like...
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah.
He sells you as like the sycophant right-hand man.
Totally.
For the
whole
movie. And then when it's revealed that he's Braga, you're like... He like changes his demeanor and becomes the boss. And
he does.
It fucking works.
No, he was great.
Yeah.
He's also fucking hot.
Mm-hmm.
He does it for me. I will say, what
he's
they do is they fill this movie's to the brim with just like the sexiest, hottest men. And I fucking thank them for it. Thank you, Justin Lin.
And very few white men. These movies, I know I'm the white guy, I talk about this all the time, but they fucking cast the fuck. Like the Phoenix, Laz Alonso, who plays like, I thought he was hotter than the main guy, right? The guy who kills Letty. That guy's an absolute gorgeous man. Yeah.
Yes. Laz Alisano. He's very sexy. Ooh, he can like fucking. Ooh, I want him to just hurt me. You know.
I want.
Just, like,
I want
me off the bed.
Yeah. I want Letty to break my arm in a fucking jujitsu armbar so bad.
Yeah, I would watch everybody cast in this movie like just have an orgy. Now I'm just looking at pictures of this man. He is oof.
Now I'm just jerking off. I'm using Nicole's discarded Sibian talking about Laz Alonso.
Everyone in this movie is so hot, and then plus like the coloring that they do to this movie, it kind of makes everyone is like a little bit dirty and a little bit sweaty. It's like they've all been working on cars in every scene. So plus the fact they're already all baseline hot, and then it looks like you've just met up with them outside of a garage.
Yeah,
in
they're
every
all like
sun
kissed. A little dewy with some
a
sweat.
A little dewy, a little bit of grime.
I know Laz Alonso from. He's on The Boys.
Oh,
the
Boys. Mother's Milk.
He's great on The Boys.
Oh,
The Boys is
so...
a great movie, or not movie, a fucking TV show.
Hell yeah.
You
I
watch
love
The Boys?
Yeah, I read the
Nobody
comic,
watches
The Boys.
The Boys, and I've been dying to talk about it with somebody.
Buyer, let's
No
I'll
way
text
this
you.
Is Newcomer Season 5.
Yeah, let's do it. It depends if Lapkus has another big hobby that takes 9 months to start.
Big hobby. I've got a big hobby in my tummy.
What's season five? Twilight? Harry Potter? No, it's The Boys. You know,
I mean, I fucking love The Boys. It's
I love The Boys.
Juicy, hot people.
Yeah, just,
everyone's sexy in that show, and it's like so they exploit them on purpose. It's
they really do. And then like the wildest shit happens that I never see coming. And I really, anyway, back to this. So, okay, Braga, Brian tells his superiors he's going to lure Braga into a trap in exchange for Dominic's pardon. I don't know why this recaps is Dominic. He is Dom Toretto. Dominic. So, okay, at the drop site, Brian plans to expose Braga, but then it's revealed that it's a decoy and the real Braga escaped to Mexico. And then Brian is removed from active duty, which is... Is that something that's going to happen in every movie? Like he's going to be an FBI agent and then they're going to be like, sorry, man, you keep fucking up.
I got news for you. If we want the spoiler, eventually they all are just working for like some sort of CIA organization. They're eventually all working for the American government in some capacity,
you know,
or some shadow organization. It rules.
Wow.
It
just honestly, they should tell improv students to watch these movies. They heighten.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just heighten so like incrementally. So like it works.
It ends up becoming like an ensemble Bond. They're like ensemble James Bond movies because they get so heightened and it's like stop nuclear fallout from happening to Earth. It's like, let's send these
DVDs.
Eight street racers.
My God.
I found out right before we recorded that the first one is them stealing DVD players. That's unbelievably funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way that they can incrementally heighten to that and justified is phenomenal.
Trying
That's
to
phenomenal.
Figure out who's stealing the VCR players is a big case in the first episode, in the first movie.
Oh my God.
Oh wait, I meant to make this joke earlier. How 2007 is this movie that GPS is so like cool?
Oh my God,
like,
I love it.
It's obviously so new.
I love it. And when
like
Brian
rerouting.
Is like, shut up!
Rerouting.
Rerouting. Make a U-turn. You gotta be fucking kidding me!
It's like the first GPS, like, it's so obviously like, there's this new tech that people use when they drive. It's like, they
and
show the map.
It tells you where
so
to go.
Much. Exactly.
Oh, and like, then after Dom wins, they were like, when the GPS calls, you answer.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not how they work. That's not how they work.
It's not a phone.
Hold on. Gal is the one like giving out the GPSs. Yeah. And there was a moment later that like, I'm just remembering like, and thinking of like wanting to see some Vin Diesel like action, wanting to see Dom like fucking fuck someone. Gal's on the car and she's like, she keeps asking, like, every scene, she's like, why aren't you into me? Like, what kind of women do you like?
I love it.
And he, like, when he said, he's like, 80% devil,
oh
20% angel. And he's like someone who's not afraid to get like car grease under her fingernails. Like, all of a sudden, she goes, that doesn't sound like me. And he's like, it ain't.
It ain't.
And walks away.
It's... Perfect.
He loves Letty
my
so much.
He loves
dropped.
Letty.
Yeah.
He does.
It is.
Oh my God.
But honestly, I wish more men were honest like that. Like, I wish when I hit on dudes, they were like, 80% angel, 20%, you know, whatever. And I like a girl who's not fucking fat. And I'm like, okay, I got it. Thank you so much. I understand. Goodbye.
If I said that on a first date, she would get a call from her roommate who's in trouble.
She would take a 45-minute dump, and you'd be like, she's been in the bathroom for a really long time.
She would take her purse to the bathroom. Let's just say that.
I also love that Gal was honest, too. She's like, that is not me.
Yes,
and he's like,
more
you're
people
right.
need to be. Honestly, the Fast and Furious franchise can teach so much. They should show that clip in like 6th or 7th grade and be like, you know, if the person's not who you want them to be, it's okay to tell them. And then you have to understand that you're not the person they want. And then it would just make everything so much easier.
They show this in a sex ed class.
Yes.
They just show the girls triple kissing in the background.
Yeah.
And this is hot. What? Thank you, T. They have to establish how much Dom loves Letty, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, so that in 6, when she comes back with amnesia and is working for the bad guys, he has to try hard to win her back.
No!
She comes back and has amnesia and is working for the bad guys. Gabrus, the best part is you like tell me these things, and then I go, okay, but then when I see them in action, I scream. Like when I saw Han... I screamed. And then when he said the Tokyo thing, I screamed. I knew it was happening. You told me. And I couldn't handle it.
There's something fun about dropping these little connections to people who don't fully know about them. Because when you really start articulating the movie, like if Fast 9 started with previously on the Fast and the Furious franchise, you would be like, this is insane. If they tried to catch you up to how they got to 9, like with voiceover. Yeah. And then, of course, they started working for Mr. Nobody, a shadow organization. And Deckard Shaw joins their crew after he kills Han.
I don't fucking think so.
Oh my God. I have never been more excited to like get through movie. Like I had so much fun watching all of them. I hated Tokyo Drift, but the last 5 seconds of it, I was like, it made up for the whole movie.
Okay, good.
This one, Can you please tell
Riley and Jeff why the last 5 seconds of Tokyo Drift.
Okay, so Vin Diesel and fucking Paul Walker are not in the movie. Instead, this weird man with a weird southern accent has to move to Tokyo. You better believe Lil Bow Wow is fucking in it. No, they have to learn how to drift. There's this weird woman from Australia, and it's literally insane. It makes no sense. At the end, the main character who has the southern accent is doing like a race, and then we see fucking Dom Toretto in the car next to him. And then he's like, I knew Han back in the day. What does he say? Fuck.
He's like, I did some jobs with Han.
Yes. Yeah. And then that's it. But you're like, yes.
That's
you got $800,000 for that.
I want to make, and also not only that, but a promise to be in 4 in the lead in 4, and then I think he becomes a producer in 5.
Insane. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Also, there are parts of the movie where Dom is talking, and it is not indiscernible English. I mean, it's just.
I mean, I had line reads are iconic.
I turned the subtitles on for this film. 5 minutes in, I'm like, I cannot understand a word anyone's saying, and I simply had to turn mumble. Closed captions on because he doesn't move his mouth when he talks.
It's called grumblecore.
It is nice. Absolute insanity.
It was really wild. I'm like, I was turning the volume. I was blasting the volume on the TV. Every sound effect was so loud, and then as soon as it would cut to him. I'm like, well, fuck me. I'm like blowing my ears out with the sound
beauty.
Of the engine.
because Dom Toretto understands peaks and valleys of what you're watching.
Yeah.
You know, the action's the height, then you bring it down, and you ground it a little bit, mumbles, and you know, you feel. Anyway, we gotta get through this. Okay. So they're traveling down to Mexico, and Giselle gives them directions to track down Braga, and then they're going through these tunnels, which is fully fucking insane. And then what happens? Oh, so then like there's a crash. This racing through the tunnels was truly insane.
It was really unreal. Fun. It's easier to shoot like and keep it scary, I feel like, because the POV works so much better. You don't have to see a lot of wide shots of real. Uh-huh. So you can kind of like use editing to your advantage way more. And I had a lot of fun in the tunnel. The geography of like what when you're making these big action sequences is very hard to be like, who's where and what.
Yeah.
They do it's an okay job. And once you're in the tunnel, you kind of lose track of who's where, but it's enough flashy cuts. But for me, the movie, this is why I love blockbuster films, specifically the Fast and Furious franchise. The shot leading up where they show the chase going into the fucking tunnel. Mm-hmm. It's like Mad Max. It really was. Helicopter shot of like 16 cars chasing two cars.
Yeah, just
and
like
that looks
in the
so
desert.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It looks so cool. There's nothing else in the frame but two dozen cars blowing through a huge desert.
Yeah, that was dope.
And just, like, I love just put that money on the fucking screen.
Yeah.
How much money did this cost movie? Who gives a fuck? Pour it on the screen with, like, tons of cars just flipping. I love seeing, like, lifted trucks and Jeeps, too, because so much of the movies are, like, the low, fast cars.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, they need, like, special missions. Like, in the first one here, they get those tow trucks that flip open.
Mm-hmm.
But here, you get to see some of the bad guys, the drug runners, have, like, those super springy pickup trucks. And I love watching those
tow trucks come back in Hobbs and Shaw when they go to Samoa. Or Samoa.
Samoa.
one of the people on 90 Day Fiancé says Samoa, so I say Samoa, but it's not correct.
Yeah.
It's not correct at all.
Ferris says 360.
The budget on this movie was $85 million, and they used every fucking penny of it.
Yeah,
it made
really
$360 million.
Which is insane. Fucking nuts.
It made
it
more than
$70
Tokyo
million
Drift.
In its opening weekend, which is like... wild. Also, I gotta say, the cops coming, that was also pretty dope looking. And then this fucking last scene with Dom on the bus.
My God.
First of all, I was like, this judge, excuse me, we had a deal. Wait, you know? He brings down this
before
bad
we get
guy.
To the judge, one cool thing. I'm gonna talk about how the stud dies. He dies in a very cool way.
Oh, yes.
He's about to
shoot Brian. And all of a sudden, Vin Diesel's got like another muscle car. He's got his like
this
fifth one of the
made
movie.
Me scream.
He comes flying out of the mountain.
Does
and
a
he's
wheelie.
Just bearing down on Phoenix. Phoenix turns to him, opens fire. He does the pop a wheelie so that the bullets are hitting the bottom of the car rather than the windshield. And then you're like, he's just driving right at him. And you're like, why won't Phoenix get out of the way? Phoenix goes, get out of the way. And Brian grabs his ankle and holds him in place to get hit by a car. That is so fucking cool. That is like the ultimate wrestling tag team move.
Yeah, it
using
really
a fucking
is.
Chevelle
but then,
as
then-
the hit.
Dom kills him, and then it's like you see Phoenix slumped over the car, and then the part that really just I was I've done is it cuts back to Dom, and he just goes, pussy.
Yes!
So bad.
I lost my damn mind. Pussy. I was screeching. I rewind. I'm like, I gotta see that again.
Yeah. I mean, these movies, they're pussy. So fucking fun. Like, and I do love that they started at a fucking 11 because we ended at like a 100. Like that, it was so much fucking fun.
Yeah.
Real quick, we have to take a break.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. So this film was not well received critically. It is a 28% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is incorrect.
Fuck Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes is broken.
Uh-huh. So a critic from Time Out wrote, turn off your mind. Turn off your mind, though. And there is some fun to be have from some of the better whiz bang sequences. What? I don't fucking know what that means. I think it's a perfect movie. I thought it was a real throw to the original movie.
Yes. And I kind of think that was the
so
plan.
Good.
Nicole, it's funny you say that because I feel like when you zoom out and look at the entire franchise, that was sort of the plan. And I would imagine they were like, all right, we got Vin and Paul Walker in this movie. Let's lock it in and do like it's a heightened version of the first movie. And that'll reground us in what the premise of these movies are. Mm. And I think it works. And then in 5, they shift the entire premise of the movie, kind of like the attitude that it comes from. But they've earned it. You'll see. It's just a really, and that's why it's my favorite movie. They do such a good shift. Before we talk about any other trivia, do we just want to talk about how cool the ending of this movie is?
So sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
it's a bookend.
It's like such a great.
It's perfect.
He's on the prison bus. He sentenced to 25 years without parole.
With no option for early parole.
Yeah.
He's in his orange fucking jumpsuit. He looks fucking good. It plays with the olive colors in his skin tone. He looks like, incredible.
It's a Big Bud Press coverall outfit. I'm like, this was fitted to your body.
What a deep cut that very few people will get. But Big Bud Press, organic
if you
stuff,
live in
made in Los Angeles,
anywhere
very
east
cute.
Of the 101, you know what I'm talking about.
The way I know Big Bud Press is that a lot of the kinds of models that I like to look at wear Big Bud Press and large size clothes. My kind of ladies wear those kind of big clothes. I'm here for it.
My kind of ladies wear those big clothes.
I'm so familiar with those with certain brands because it's like the models on Instagram are like, I'm wearing this. Yes, you are. You're indeed wearing it.
Yes, ooh, curvy.
They have a white.
Yes, you're wearing the shit
now.
Out of that Fashion Nova.
They added a sundial.
So, okay, some trivia. Due to Universal Pictures moving the release date up from June 12th to April 3rd, composer Brian Tyler only had 3 days to record the orchestra. That's the score. Insane.
And I'll say this. It shows. It shows. It's not enjoyable at all. We don't go like, the score of this movie ruled. No one remembered it.
You don't remember it at all.
No.
That's
you
a
only
very
had three
Tyler
days.
Perry move.
Does it say why they moved it up? Because that's not just like a week.
Probably because something bigger was being released in the summer. So it's like
you have
your summer temple movies. And then you're like, oh, shit, this might not do well. So you move it up to the spring.
Well, hey, then they made $360 million.
Yeah, whatever they did, they made the right choice.
Yeah.
Good move. So we already said it, but Fast and the Furious outgrossed the Tokyo Drift in its first fucking weekend alone, which is very funny.
And that's the power of Vin Diesel and Paul Walker.
That is
a magic chemistry that we will see that made these movies. Literally, the movie leaves the two of them for two movies, and you're so ecstatic that they come back together. That's like true charisma, friendship, on-screen dynamism in some way. It's so fucking cool.
I agree. I love it. It was so nice to see them all together. Also, I like that they let Mia drive in the end.
Yeah.
Does she drive
Mia's
more?
Mia's a doctor and a driver, it turns out.
Wait, she's a doctor?
Well, she's the one who repairs Dom's bullet hole.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, I gotta get you to a doctor. JK, it's your sister. But she's good at doctor shit. Trust me, we play doctor every weekend.
Oh, yeah, and they fucked on the counter while Dom was in the garage. We didn't see them fuck, but
Kissed
we
a little.
We heard it, though.
You
heard Trash, right, Riley?
I think we all heard it.
Okay, well, we've come to the end. Next week, we're watching Fast Five.
I'm
really excited about it. I love these movies. They bring me joy. I was smiling ear to ear watching the whole thing. Jeff, Riley, do you guys have anything you want to plug?
Can I just run a stand-up joke by you?
God damn it.
Yeah.
It's related.
Yeah. My God.
It better be.
Cobbs and slaw, the fastest barbecue sides ever.
Honestly, it works in this context because we're talking about it.
Yeah.
But you would have to explain that to an audience.
I'm not as well versed in stand up as Byer.
That's my opener and closer. It's my type one. It's 10 seconds of saying it and 50 seconds of a standing O.
Well, I say you can work it. I know you're touring opening for Louis C.K. this summer, so maybe you can test out your material.
Special
there
guest. I'm not supposed to announce it, but Delia's going to be at the Albuquerque show.
And Jeff is solely doing Fast and Furious material.
I mean,
in between movies 9 and 10 when it's completely out of the zeitgeist, hoping people. I mean, this is my life. I'm like, all I want to talk about is Fast and the Furious. And it happens like once every 3 years that everyone is talking about it. And then they asked me to fill in for Lapkus on Newcomers. And I was like, more screaming about Toretto.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's fucking delightful. I'm truly having a great time.
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't waste your plugs. Don't waste your plugs on Jeff's jokes.
Yeah,
don't waste your
plugs. I'm so sorry we wasted Jeff's plugs on a Cobbs and Slaw joke. we have our HeadGum show, Review Review. It's R-E-V-I-E-W-R-E-V-U-E. And Jeff, do you want to plug HeadGum? Podcast.
Yeah, Review is it's an improv comedy podcast based on Yelp reviews. It's a lot of fun. Gabrus has done an episode, so if you want an intro to that, Nicole, you're always welcome on the show. I know you're really busy. And then I also have to jump off.
I mean, I would do it, but like, I have four podcasts that I have to record on the weekend
do
now.
And
while
two
I'm working.
Or three TV show.
Yeah,
I'm working full time. I'm a little on my break from the show, like a Grand Crew, the show I'm on. I'm shooting Wipeout.
Yeah,
and, it's gonna be fun. It's a lot. It's
my
a
roommate's
lot,
the
okay.
right the showrunner's assistant on Grand Crew. He says to say hello.
Oh, you know him. Tename said hello.
He's really excited about it.
Tell me, and, Nicole did her famous Helen Mirren impression for him.
Hell no.
Yeah, and I fucking crushed it, baby.
Baby. And then I also host a show called The HeadGum Podcast, which is like a British panel show of some sort with a lot of bizarre, uncomfortable quizzes and games. It's kind of Hollywood handbooky between two Fernsy. Gabrus, you got to come on. It would be fun.
Yeah, pass. Not nearly as busy as Bayer, but I'm too busy for that bullshit.
He's vacationing. You're a vacation boy.
I'm supposed to see my family for the first time in 18 months, and I've already taken 2 hours away to watch Fast 4, and then another 2 hours away to scream
to fucking
about
talk
it.
About it.
My
tell your mom
are like,
I said
where's
hi.
Uncle Nani?
I fucking love your mother. Please tell her I said hello.
Yeah,
she's
give
a huge
Tip a
fan
hug
of
for
you.
Me. Yeah. I love her too. You picked some great ladies. You picked some great ladies in your life. Your mom? Wow, I can't believe you picked your mom.
One of the best. I found a great vagina to come out of and another one to come into.
That's the worst sentence I've ever heard. Officially, that takes the cake.
That's my opener and closer. I'm touring with Jeff Ross.
Gabrus, find a man for me in New York. Where are you, Long Island?
Yeah, I'm in Long Island. There's a lot of like buff tan guys in your style.
Yeah, find me
like,
one and tell them that they got to move to LA.
You got
okay.
it.
If you write a nice review, reviewing, this is written in review. So this person, Midwest Nice, said, this season will go too fast and I'm furious about it. The latest season of Newcomers is so fantastic. It momentarily made me forget a tornado ravaged our property, destroyed our roof, and decimated our garage. God bless. I hope you're okay. Nicole and Gabrus' joy in reveling in these movies is contagious and has been such a needed bright spot in an otherwise terrible week. I've always enjoyed the show, but the latest season is something special. I'd pick up a brush, deal with insurance claims, or do any other menial, miserable tasks willingly if I had these two two F's like the movie always to listen to for a while. A little heart. Well, thank you so much. If you write us a review, I'll read it. I'll stumble through it like I did that one.
Here, let me read one real quick. This is from Meat Mug. He says, big fun, vroom vroom. Solid review. Thank
there
you
it
for
is.
Putting that in the notes.
Big fun, vroom vroom. I love it. All right, well, that's it. We'll see you next week with Fast 5, and I'm fucking jazzed about it. And maybe I'll have a boyfriend from Long Island.
Oh, I got you. You'll be getting some Long Island dick, and we will be going from directly the end of this movie. We're going to go jump 1 second in time to the beginning
wait.
Of Fast 5.
I can't fucking wait. Can't wait for that and my Long Island Ice D.
Nice! Okay. Long Island Ice D.
Such a bite. That was a HeadGum Original.